So tonight we're going to talk about destructive heresies. The Lord's really been putting on my mind now for quite a few months about this. And all the teachings that I do in all different places have kind of been pointing to the fact that the church, the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, has dropped the ball pretty much. Not everywhere, not everyone, you know, I don't want to make broad generalities, but people in our time don't even know what the gospel is. If you've been listening to the radio show, you've been getting this thing from Galatians about how Paul says to them, you know, I came there, I told you the gospel, that Jesus died for you, and your sin is forgiven by that, and how I can't believe how fast you've gone away from that gospel to another gospel, which isn't a gospel at all. He had been there a short time before. He goes back, and they already were doing all kinds of different things, adding things to the gospel, adding things to salvation, adding laws, mixing grace and law. And then, you know, he says, I marvel at how fast this happened. He couldn't believe it. Then, of course, in chapter 3, he calls them foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Read that for your homework. I'll try to remember. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? In our time, we're worse because now we can't decide if the gospel's about recycling. We can't decide if the gospel's about being nice to everybody or if it's you help this group of people or you do this with that group of people or we try not to hurt anybody's feelings and we do the best we can. Guess what? That's not the gospel. And so, lest you think this started in the 21st century, no, it actually started in the first century. Jesus himself, Yeshua himself, warned false teachers would come. Wolves in sheep's clothing would come. And a couple of years ago, maybe we should do it again. I did this teaching about what's worse than a wolf in sheep's clothing is a wolf in shepherd's clothing. And what we have now is shepherds who are actually wolves, but they're all dressed up real nice. And they're so good. You know, the Pharisees and the high priest, they always looked really good. Like when you saw the Pharisees come and you said, wow, look how holy those guys are. I mean, I'm just this dopey guy trying to make a living here. And those guys are wearing all this cool stuff and they know the scriptures and oh man. So it started then. And then Peter warned people, as we're going to see. And John warned people, as we're going to see. And Paul warned people, as we're going to see. Because every time a teacher was there, false teachers would come. When Jeremiah was preaching in Jerusalem, just before the Babylonians came, and he said, you know, he sees a vision of an almond branch. And God says, what do you see? He says, I see an almond branch. And God says, very good, it is an almond branch. Why is that important? The almond was the first tree to blossom, the first fruit, the first nut to be harvested. It was called the fast tree. It was called shached in Hebrew, the fast tree, which meant judgment was coming soon. Then Jeremiah sees a boiling, smoking pot coming from the north, and God says, destruction is going to come to you from the north. And the Babylonians came into the land from the north. Because he said, God said to him, I've had it with this. People are burning incense to false gods. People are falling away from my law. People are doing the opposite of everything they're supposed to be doing. And now's a time of reckoning. And to think and to show you how God doesn't overlook things, they had not kept the law that said every 7 years the land had to lie fertile. I mean, fallow. Every seventh year you couldn't plant. The Shemitah year, every seventh year, you couldn't plant. They had never observed that. So God says, you've had 490 years here that you haven't done that. So you're going to stay in Babylon 70 years. You have to pay for that. And the land will lie fallow during that time to make up for all those lost Sabbaths of the land. But we think God's going to overlook everything. I don't mean we here, but the general society says, oh, God doesn't care about that kind of stuff anymore because we're evolved. We're not primitive people anymore. We're awesome. We're all about this. And if God still thinks the way he wrote 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, hey, there's not something wrong with us or something wrong with his word, as we talked about. So we're going to start in, We're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 2. You know, Peter wrote two epistles. Everybody knows that, right? Say yes. I have to keep reminding you because, you know, the biblical knowledge is pretty bad nowadays. Peter wrote two epistles. The first one is very interesting and kind of, the second one is very hard hitting. And the second one talks about the end coming. And he talks about how scoffers will come saying, it's always been this way. Ah, come on. People have been saying that since the beginning. How many people do you say, well, Jesus is going to come back soon? They go, oh, people have been saying that since Paul's time. Oh, I'll be right. 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Now, when God told Jeremiah in chapters 1 and 2 to go through Jerusalem crying out the judgment was coming. He didn't say you might mention it once in a while. He didn't say like, well, when you go to Panera's, if you see somebody you know, just kind of whisper to them, you know, judgment's coming soon. You're supposed to be crying it through the city. You don't care about hurting somebody's feelings. In fact, if you care about the person, you tell them judgment is coming. So get ready for it. Repent of how you're living your life. Repent of what you're doing. Judgment is coming. Yes, you're going to cry out to the city. The leaders hated Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we want prophets to tell us something good. We want to hear happy news. The church in America in the 21st century is happy news. Good music, uplifting sermon. Tell everybody how awesome they are. Let's all go out to brunch and have some fun. That's 21st century Christianity. And it reminds some of you have seen the thing going around Facebook that says, the more I read the scripture, the less I have in common with modern Christianity. Because there's no talk about sin and repentance. There's no talk about discipleship. There's no talk about, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. It's all, hey, everything's fine. We're trying so hard to be like the world that we've lost our uniqueness. We've lost the fact that we're supposed to be separate. We're a people set apart. We're a nation of priests. We're a nation of prophets. So he says, false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. They'll even deny the Lord that did what? Bought them. Oh, come on now. You can't possibly believe that this is the only way to salvation. You can't possibly believe that what happened on this cross applies to everybody. That's very narrow-minded. Jesus accepted everybody who came. And he came and told us how to live real nice. How to be nice to everybody. They forget about the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, pick up your cross and follow me. They forget about the time he made the whip out of cords and knocked over the tables and whipped those guys and said, get all these animals out of here and all this stuff out of here. They forget about Matthew 23 when he goes a whole chapter against the religious leaders, insulting them, humiliating them, calling them names, whited sepulchers, blind guides. You're like dead men. Whew. Love Matthew 23. Read that for your homework too. So they'll even deny the Lord. How many preachers, you know what, I've said this before, but you know, before I retired, I used to think, oh, this could be great because I can watch Christian TV during the day. Well, that lasts about 20 minutes. because most of the stuff that's on there is just absolutely horrible. No depth, foundation, nothing can bloom from it. It's just flat. Or it's all the prosperity guys. When you get up in the morning, say, today, I'm going to get that bonus. Now, I don't know. I got maybe a different Bible than those guys have, but I don't see that anywhere. So they're going to bring destruction on themselves eventually, and many will follow their destructive ways. Many people will follow their destructive ways. How do you get 30,000 people in a basketball arena? Say, God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be healthy. If you have enough faith, anything will be healed. You'll have the good job. You'll have the big bonus. You'll have the nice house. You'll have the nice car. Hey, where do I sign up for that? I don't want to talk about crosses and blood. I don't want to talk about sin and repentance. I don't want to talk about deny myself. I got to build myself up. I don't want to deny myself. Well, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross and follow me. You know, we kind of know about crosses, but we don't know about crosses. When he said that to those guys, they would have turned white. Why? Because they saw crosses all the time. There weren't just crosses on Good Friday. That was the way of execution. And when you saw a guy carrying a cross down the road, one thing you knew is he wasn't coming back. And then Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. Whoa. Well, let me go home first. I have to bury my father. Up, you lose. Wait, I have to go home and say goodbye to everybody. Up, you lose. So many are going to follow destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. People are going to follow things that are not the truth. False teachers are very convincing. They're not weird. They don't say weird stuff. They say normal stuff. They look good. They have good voices. They hold the Bible up. So Peter warns the church that people are going to be seduced by false teachers. They're going to even deny the Lord that bought them. And as we said with Jeremiah, true teachers are always followed by false teachers. When Jeremiah said, city's going to be destroyed, temple's going to be destroyed, hey, Jeremiah, we're going to throw you in the cistern if you don't shut up, because we want to hear good things. We're the chosen people. We got the temple scrolls. We got the priests. Oh, yeah, we're worshiping idols in the basement, but we got all the stuff. God's not going to destroy his own house. Well, he did it not once, but twice. False prophets came in and said, hey, everything is cool. Why are you listening to Jeremiah? He's a big party pooper. He's the wailing prophet. He's depressing. Look at that guy. You want to follow him? Look at that guy. He doesn't look very much fun to me. Don't worry. Relax. So false teachers always come in after the real teachers. Their purpose is to deceive and distract. And they take people away from the truth. You start to add things to salvation. You start to change the meaning of things. Satan says to Eve, did God really say that? Yeah, he did, actually. Well, okay, but did he really mean that? Well, I don't know. Well, let me tell you something, Eve. You're a pretty smart girl. I can't believe you didn't figure this out. He wants you to be under his thumb. He doesn't want you to advance yourself. He doesn't want you to be like him. He wants to keep you down. That's why he doesn't want you to eat this. Hey, give me that apple. Or whatever it was. We don't even know if it was an apple, but whatever it was. I once read that there was in the Middle Ages, there was some order of monks that would never eat apples because of Adam and Eve. But the Bible doesn't say it was an apple, but just like it doesn't say Paul fell off his horse. Anyway, take people away from the truth. They look good. They look respectable. They sound good. And there's always a kernel of truth in every false teaching. There's always a kernel of truth. Not to pick on people, but you hear a Mormon talking, they say Jesus's name. You go, oh, St. Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. What's wrong with that? Well, okay, let's think about this. God the Father was once a man like us, and he was such a good man that he became a god when he died, and he got his own planet, which was Earth, and he had cosmic intercourse with the spirit Virgin Mary, and Jesus and Lucifer were born. They're twins. And you go, what? And people are joining that church like crazy. Jehovah's Witness, Jesus was created by the Father. He was a creature. Then he becomes kind of a junior partner and everything that happens after that. But there's no Trinity. There's just God. And he created Jesus of Nazareth. So when they come to your house and they got their script, you know, the only way you can debate with them is you got to take them off the script, because they're good when they're on their script. Once we were at, well, quite a few years ago when Joan's mother was still alive and living in Erie, these Jehovah's Witnesses came down the street and she said to me, oh, get rid of them. And I said, no, I want to talk to them. And so I was fixing her front storm door, and this man and woman came up and said, can we talk to you for a minute? I said, yes, I've been waiting for you. And Joan leans out the front door and says to them, boy, did you guys come to the wrong place. And then an hour later, they said, we got to go. So they're lies with a kernel of truth. Oops, there we go. So false teachers always have large followings because people aren't familiar with the truth of the scripture. So they want to hear something that makes them happy. Oh, God the Father was once a man like me. So you mean if I'm really good, I can be a god when I die and I can have my own planet? I like it. I can have my own planet. That'd be awesome. Unlimited donuts, more coffee than I can drink. I'll just rule over the coffee and donut planet. This sounds really good. So people aren't familiar with the truth, and they hear a pleasing or an exciting message. And instead of the truth of salvation, they get some kind of weird message that tickles them, as we're going to see what Paul tells Timothy. It tickles their ears for some reason. I don't get how what I just said about Mormonism would make somebody run out and sign up, but anyway, where's Jordan? Nobody laughs at my jokes anymore. Anyway, they'll leave salvation for a lie. And true teachers want people to be saved. Yes, no? True teachers want people to be saved. You know, many people used to say, I don't hear it so much anymore, but you wouldn't even want your worst enemy to be in hell because it's such a horrible prospect. You want your, you know, you pick a person in your mind that you can't stand being around. And you say, I hate that guy, but you don't want him to go to hell. The only person I really wanted to go to hell was Osama bin Laden, but I won't tell that story again. But Peter Herbeck straightened me out on that. You know, Peter Herbeck. Anyway, so true teachers have a knowledge and an authority of scripture. They work for the benefit and the blessing of the people that are under them. Not tell them what they want to hear. We have leaders of major denominations who say not a word about anything. Little boy wants to be a little girl. What can we say? Who am I to judge? What can I say? You're a leader in that church. You can say something. Bob wants to marry Al. Well, I mean, I don't know. What can I say? I mean, who am I to judge? You're a leader in that church. You have a book that tells you what to say. Well, I don't know. Who am I to say? They're afraid. They're afraid. Remember when we did about the two vineyards, one in Isaiah and the other one in Matthew? God tells Isaiah, and then Jesus does a similar thing. Build a wall, take care of the ground, put the choice vines, build a tower, expecting fruit. You know, they get his sour grapes. So we're going to knock the wall down, and the part inside the wall is going to be just like the territory outside the wall. It's not supposed to be that. The church is not supposed to be the world. The world is passing away. Peter, in the same book, says everything's going to melt in fire. I can't remember the term he uses. Fervent heat. All the elements are going to melt in fervent heat. It's not like, well, you know, things may get bad for a while. Then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So, 1 John, okay? John wrote how many epistles? 3. And what else did he write? The Gospel of John. This is John. This is the guy Jesus called Son of Thunder with his brother James. He had a bad temper. He said, let's call down fire on those guys. Let's just fry those guys because they were mean. And Jesus calls them sons of thunder. You want to bring fire down from heaven on those guys. I love in The Chosen where he says, why? Because they don't like you. You know, they weren't nice to you, so you want to incinerate them. And then he adds, what makes you think you're more worthy than they are? Which is a great point. So, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, it's thought that John died around the year 90. He was pretty old. False teachers had already gone out into the world. Why did they have church councils? Because all kinds of heresies started. There were Gnostics and Arians. And I read this great thing about, I think it was the Council of Nicaea, where St. Nicholas and some bishop from Alexandria, Egypt, actually got in a fist fight because they were yelling at each other about something they were debating. And they actually got into a fist fight on the floor of the council. I'd love to have seen that. Anyway, humans, right? What did you say? Anyway, false prophets have already gone out into the world. John cautions that there's other spirits in the world. There's not just the Holy Spirit in the world. There's other spirits in the world. Other spirits. You know, Revelation talks about how spirits of demons go into people, how they dominate the Antichrist, how they dominate the leaders of the, you know, the New World Order, the one world government and so forth, which we're dangerously close to. But he says spirits of demons go into these people that run these things. And so they behave like demons. A man named Jeffrey Katz, who's Jewish by birth, is an agnostic, is one of the people who is in charge of a committee on population control, who said, if we can reduce the population of humans by half, then the earth will have a chance. And guess what? He has a job at the Vatican. At the Vatican. Yes, This is what the world is coming to. Instead of the leaders in the Vatican saying, what you're saying is immoral, is unchristian, is not tolerated. Oh, we're going to give you a job here. He's head of some committee. Decrease the population by a half, then the earth will have a chance. What's going to happen next when you turn some arbitrary age, 70, 75, 80, you know, present yourself to the, you know, what were the Ministry of Health? Yeah. And we'll make it comfortable. And like, remember the movie Soylent Green? You know, you just go in there and they put all these beautiful pictures on and kill you. And you're just nice and comfortable. And I mean, is that how we're going to decrease the population by half? I don't know. But anyway, there's other spirits in the world. There's other revelations. There's other inspirations. There's other visions. Remember what Paul says about Satan in 2 Corinthians? He can become an angel of light. He can look like an angel. He was the most beautiful creature ever made until he fell. He was the star of the morning, the light of the morning, the star of the morning. He sang the best. He was the most beautiful. Looked great. There's other revelations, other visions, and Satan is always planting counterfeits. Oh, did God really say you're either a man or a woman? Did he really say in the beginning he made them male and female? Did he really say a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife and they become one flesh? Did he really say that? Yeah, he really said that. Well, but no. We think different now. We've moved on. You know, it's funny how all this nonsense is called progressive, when actually it's regressive, but that's another story. Satan always plans counterfeits. God is the author of life. Satan brings abortion. Marriage is a man and a woman blessed by God. Satan brings same-sex marriage. God creates male and female. Well, you don't have to be. I mean, if you feel you're not, you know, you can be. You know, there's people taking their five-year-old kids to have their gender changed. You know, the school can't give them Tylenol, but you can take them to a place and change their gender. I mean, it's just ridiculous, but it's demonic. So these are ideas are planted. So he says, test the spirits. Some of them are misled, some of them are willfully deceitful, and some just mishandle the scriptures. You know, if you take a verse from here, and a verse from here, and a verse from here, and put them all together, and you say, therefore, here's what's going to happen August 22nd of 2023. You know what I mean? You've taken three verses from three different books, totally out of context. You know the old saying about just open up the Bible, put your finger down, and read what passage you come to. You know, to feel better, to calm yourself down, or whatever. So one guy on the radio was saying, "What if you open up to the verse that says Judas went out and hung himself?" And so you say, "Well, I better try that again. Open it again, put your finger down. Now go and do the same." I'm glad people are laughing. Jordan, I hope you're watching. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Woo! Holy Spirit is living within us. Jesus is always with us. I mean, two or three, we're more than two or three here. We know he's here in our midst. But even when you're by yourself, he's with you. And the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. he uses two or three witnesses, of course, because that's from the Torah. Everything is based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So when you see something happen, when you see a manifestation of the Spirit, two or three people attest to it as witnesses. And he says, the law says two or three witnesses. And I'm telling you, I'm two witnesses here. My father and me are here. So we're testifying to that. We count as two witnesses. People say, Jesus never said he was God. Well, yeah, he did. Oh, Jesus never said anything about trinities. Oh, yeah, he did. Greater he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. You know, even Winston Churchill, I don't know anything about Winston Churchill's faith, but I admire the guy. Winston Churchill says, you have enemies? That's good. That means you stand for something. Enemies at all, and everybody agrees with everything you say. So if you talk like the world's going to love you. Jesus said the world is going to hate you because they hated me first. If the world loves you, something's wrong. In Deuteronomy, God says, when you get to the land, you're going to want to have a king. Don't have a king. I'm your king. If you have a king, he's going to draft your sons in the army. He's going to come and take your crops. He's going to put taxes on you. He's going to take your horses. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to do whatever he wants. Don't have a king. I'm your king. First Samuel, what happens? We want a king. Why? Because we want to be like everybody else. You are people set apart, but you want to be like everybody else. We're a people set apart. We want to be like the world. We want everybody to like us better. We want to fit right in. We want the world to say, I like this guy. Jesus said, no, the world's going to hate you. He says, they're going to take you to courts. They're going to take you to synagogues. They're going to persecute you. He says, but don't worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit's going to speak in your defense. He didn't say, hey, don't worry, you guys. Everything's cool now. Peter, you're going to have a mansion. You're going to have a nice car. Oh, wait a minute. You're going to get all it. No, he says, they're going to take you and kill you. Saul of Tarsus laying in the bed in Damascus, waiting for Ananias to come. Jesus says to Ananias, go tell Paul all he's going to suffer for my sake, because he's my chosen instrument to the Gentiles. The Pharisee of Pharisees is the chosen instrument to the Gentiles. In 2 Corinthians, he says, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten with rods, I was stoned, I was left for dead. I got robbers attacked me in the city, robbers attacked me in the country, the Jews came against me, the Gentiles came against me. Knows his everyday life. He didn't say, oh, I better just shut up. Oh, it's raining today. I better not go. I'm pretty tired today. I'm going to stay home and watch TV. Shut up, you big wuss. We're such a bunch of wusses. I can't even take it. So the world hears him because they speak like the world. We are of God. If you have Jesus, Yeshua, as your personal Savior, and you've repented of your sin, and you're covered by his blood, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you have the Father as Abba, you're of God. You're not of these different spirits going around the world. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We can pick up, you know, Hank Hanegraaff, Bible Answer Man, always says, be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit rises on the horizon, you recognize it immediately because you say, that's not true. I don't care how many people believe it. That's not true. So we're going to know this. Because the world's going to love its own. I was going to put the reference in there, but I didn't. Jesus said that. The world loves its own. You always like people that are like you. They get bigger followings. You know, maybe Christian life is not supposed to be hard. Maybe it is really inclusive. Maybe you can do whatever you want. A very famous evangelist said a couple of years ago, we don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments because we're all just covered by grace. And when I heard that, I realized how bad things have gotten. Oh, the Ten Commandments, that's the law. We're not under the law anymore. Oh, really? So does that mean before anybody comes here, they can stop along the way and steal something, commit adultery, covet something, blaspheme, lie about somebody, and then show up and say, hey, I'm not under the law. I'm cool. Walk around and talk about how saved I am. I call that walking on thin ice. So the gospel can be distorted. The gospel can be changed. We've seen that happen. We've seen that happen. Social justice is a good example. Social justice flows from the gospel. Social justice is not the gospel. You can be an atheist and do social justice. You can be an atheist and give away billions of dollars and give money to the poor and give, you know, build a school. But are you going to be saved? No. Those things come from the gospel. This is Galatians 1. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. How did you get called? In grace. Grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to earn grace. Unmerited favor. I always use the example, somebody comes to your house to build a deck. And you say, come and build the deck. I got all the material there. I'm going to give you $30 an hour. So the guy comes, builds the deck. 8 hours later, he says, all done. So what do? You say, okay, 8 hours, $30. Here's $240. That's not grace. He earned that. You made an agreement and he earned that. Grace means you didn't earn anything. You're not worthy of it, but you get it. It's unmerited favor. And just before this, Paul tells the Galatians what he had taught them about the gospel. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. In other words, this is the gospel. How did you turn away from this so fast? Why are you running around adding all these things to this? Oh, yeah. Saved by that. But you have to also do all this other stuff. First Timothy 4. Now, the Spirit expressly says, who says it? The Holy Spirit says this. Can it be false? No. The Holy Spirit breathes out the scripture. Paul says, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, when you're a little kid and you take something and you realize you shouldn't have done it, and you know, it kind of bothers your conscience. Eventually, your conscience doesn't react to anything anymore because it's seared with a hot iron. You've done something so many times, but the 98th time you do it, doesn't bother you anymore. The 200th time you do it, you don't think about it at all. People are going to turn to those kind of things. So the true spirit lives in us. The false spirits speak like the world and lead people to the world. Emphasize wealth, pleasures, your physical condition. I might have told you once a group of pastors invited me to come and meet with them because they were starting a Bible school and they wanted me to teach, and I was very flattered. And then once I got there, it all got into this, well, you know, if you have enough faith, everything, you know, anything that's wrong with you will be healed. If you have enough faith, don't worry about your job and don't worry about these things, because God's going to bless you with money. If you give money to the church, he's going to bless you more with money, everything. So after a couple of sessions of all this business, if you're not healed, you probably don't have enough faith. I made my living seeing sick people. And if I said to somebody who was dying, you know, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be dying from this disease. You know, what kind of Christian attitude would that be? That's a horrible thing to say to somebody. So finally, one morning I said to these guys, do you know anybody who was born in 1800? And they went, oh, no. How about 1900? Well, no. Where are they? They died. Yeah. They died. No matter how much faith they have. You know, we're in such a screwed up society now where we think everybody has to live to be 112. Some people die when they're 3. Some people die when they're 20. Some people die when they're 30. Some people die when they're 100. Oops. And like Paul said, it takes you away from the truth of salvation. So he says these things are expected because the Spirit revealed it to him. There'll be a general apostasy. In 2 Thessalonians, he calls this the great falling away. There'll be the great falling away, and then the man of sin will be revealed. Boy, it can't be much longer until the man of sin is revealed. Whew. So, we should try to be holy. We're made in his image. We should be devoted to him. We have the Spirit living in us. We're not like the rest of the world. We're a people set apart, like the Israelites were set apart. We can't listen to teachers who tell you things that you want to hear. Nobody goes to more churches than I do, and sometimes I can't even stand it. I leave places on Sunday morning going, I can't believe that guy just said all that. Everybody feels good when they leave. I did a talk one Sunday afternoon at a Catholic group, and the priest there was very mad at me. He invited me to come and talk, and he sat there glaring at me all through my whole talk. And afterwards, he said, I hated your talk. Everybody hated your talk. I said, what? He said, well, you can't keep telling people they're sinners. You can't keep saying because we're all sinners. And I said, well, we are all sinners. Well, you can't tell people that. It hurts their feelings. He said, well, sin is supposed to hurt their feelings. You're not supposed to say, yay, I'm a sinner. Then I said, well, if I'm the only sinner here, then I apologize. And he, of course, said, oh, now you're being a smart aleck. And I said, well, I guess so. But you want to tell people what they want to hear. You don't want to hear bad things. So, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Fables. They walk around talking about how saved they are, but they've turned themselves to fables. They don't know the truth of the scripture. They never even opened the scripture. But if this guy says God wants me to be rich, I'm all about it. I wish I'd have found this church sooner. So, I hope that's the end. And of course, we already mentioned this. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, I mentioned Peter Urbeck. He always says, you know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, vessels with glory inside. Right? We're made out of clay. We're going to go back into the dust. Unless Jesus comes back tonight. I hope he does. But we're going to go back into the dust. We're just dirt. Right? In fact, Adam's name means dirt. Adam means dirt. But we have glory inside. We're made in the image and likeness of God. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. But as Peter Herbeck always says, Satan wants you to concentrate on the clay pot, not on the glory. Oh, I'm tired today. I better take it easy. Oh, my cholesterol's 3 points higher than it was 6 months ago. What am I going to do now? I used to have people in the office that would burst into tears because their cholesterol was 5 points higher than it was 6 months before. And I would just sit there in amazement. I have no idea what my cholesterol is. I could care less. I think the best treatment is donuts, but that's another story. So, I think that's the end. I hope that's the end. So, destructive heresies, false teachers. You have to familiarize yourself with the truth. You have to know the foundation, and you have to know the roots. If you build your house on rock, it stands. If you build it on shifting sand, every time there's a storm, your house will fall down.